Where can I buy a director's chair?
Amazon.
Where can I buy Welcome Back, Kotter on DVD?
Amazon.
Where can I buy that Humping Animals adult coloring book with a dog fucking a chicken on the back?
Amazon. Go to d2rpn.com and click the Amazon banner. Buy an oven mitt.
Presents the Think Tank Podcast. And now, coming to you pre-recorded, deep undercover, in the world's deepest, darkest, most secure, Hadron Collider and nuclear bomb tested and approved doomsday bunker, here is Ryan the Area Man. Hey, dude.
What up, dude?
All right. So, we are not going to do the normal, what we've been doing for the last several months, covering current events.
Oh, that's why I came in. I thought we were just going to do all Biden all day today.
Nothing's happened.
24-hour Biden news coverage.
Well, to be fair, nothing's happened since yesterday we recorded our last episode.
Correct.
So things could have happened, but I don't know when, what order and all that, so we're just going to fucking do this one because I want to do this one.
Well, and do this one then.
And that's what we're going to do. So if a whole bunch of shit's gone down since the last episode and people listening to this are like, oh, they're going to talk about it, probably the next episode we'll catch everybody up.
Right.
But we need some time here to accumulate more stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, today we're going to talk about the Finders. And we're going to watch a video.
Finders Keepers? Losers Weepers?
Something like that.
Sweet.
So you've never heard of the Finders?
I have not.
Okay. Well, this is a channel on YouTube. I've listened to this twice. While I'm doing stuff, I just put YouTube on and I'll listen to shit. I don't really stand there and watch it, but I've listened to it twice. I've not actually watched the video, to see what they're showing. But I've listened to it twice, and it's fascinating to me. And I don't know if you're going to be as fascinated, but we'll watch this. If you have, thoughts, obviously we'll discuss it. And so pause, do like we do, but I just want to put this out there for everybody.
Well, let's fucking put it to the test. Push the pedal to the metal.
All right. So this is a video on YouTube called The Cult with CIA Ties.
Okay, here we go.
Your only chance to evacuate is to leave with us.
Cults. They live among us. They walk beside us. They're hidden in plain sight. We like to think that cults operate on a level underneath us, but sometimes it's quite the opposite. In 2019, the FBI Records Twitter account released a 600-page document about their investigation into the Finders cult. The tweet gained a massive amount of attention from online users and conspiracy theorists. Maybe you've heard about this mysterious group from around the internet. You may have even heard about some of the eerie practices this group was said to partake in. Curious myself, I decided to look into the documents, only to find that a lot of their wording was redacted or blacked out. And so it began. I became interested in learning more about this supposed satanic cult from the 80s, but through my research of newspaper articles, official investigation reports, and FBI documents, I honestly wasn't prepared for the mountains of information that waited for me. It really seemed like every other source had something new for me to read. So, why isn't this talked about more? In this video, I will try to encompass my research in a straightforward timeline of events. This is the story of the Finders Cult.
Thoughts?
Looks like Freddie Mercury.
It was the 1980s. Among the decade's trends of arcade games, horror movies, and big hair, a growing fear was sweeping the United States, known as the Satanic Panic.
To describe this story as horrifying would be an understatement.
The rise of heavy metal music with supposed hidden messages, Dungeons and Dragons, and new stories about satanic cults and rituals taking place fueled the growing hysteria.
The evidence is in. Satan worship and satanic cults are growing rapidly, and adherents of these ideas are becoming more vocal and more dangerous.
But in the end, that's all this was, right? Just hysteria. On Wednesday, February 4th, 1987, an anonymous call was made to the Tallahassee Police Department. The call stated that two well-dressed men were seen watching over six dirty and unkempt children, ages two.
To be fair, real quick, I have to pause it because Dave and I gave each other a look. We're literally recording on February 4th.
1987.
Well, it's not actually. Yeah. We're doing this thing. It's called podcast. Nobody's going to know what it is until, you know. No. But it's weird. We're recording February 4th.
Yeah. That's weird because we almost did this video yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, we almost did it yesterday and said we came back today and said, oh, we'll just do it tomorrow.
Not knowing.
And I've heard this audio twice and not like I planned that, dude.
No, because it was my decision not to do another episode last night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, weird.
It is weird. Anyways, let's go back to the video.
But see, back in those days, dude, I remember.
Do you remember the Satanic Panic? Because
no,
I don't.
I don't remember it being called that at all, but I remember playing Dungeons & Dragons because it was really huge back then.
It's
I remember
still
the
kind of big now.
Oh, yeah.
It's, under, it's, on the underground type thing.
And I remember, like, my cousin Nick and Zach play.
Yeah.
They play all the time.
You know, Ray. Everybody knows Ray.
Mm-hmm.
He, I don't know if he plays. It's something like he plays that kind of shit, though.
Yeah, he
like still like, to this
he
day,
probably plays like Magic the Gathering or some shit.
No, but they like all these like you know where they have the little game board and the fucking dice and all that.
Yeah, like we were gonna build one time.
Yeah, well, we still are. Dude, we got so many projects in the works, but yeah, it's like still kind of a popular thing,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Like
it's
people
it's
still
not
play
as huge as it was. Like it was really huge back then in my day.
Yeah,
and God, I'm so old. I'm saying back in my day. But then I remember, like, I remember the Iron Maiden cover, and I remember them saying that, like, Metallica, Megadeth, all of the heavy metal bands back then were Satan worshippers, and my parents didn't want me to listen to their music because of that.
Yeah, because of the Satanic Panic.
Yeah, and I never heard of it called that, though. But I had never heard of, like, Satanic cults and shit back then. I just listened to fucking heavy metal and...
Didn't you? You went to a private...
I went to private school up until
so
sixth
did I.
grade, yeah.
And so did I.
Yeah, yeah.
It is weird that we both went to private school up to sixth grade.
Yeah.
And then in seventh, you went to public after that.
Yes.
So did I.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Guilford, I went to Harlem.
Correct. Correct. Now the...
Big Yon.
Guy that I used to know, that you still know, and my parents know, went to private school up until eighth grade.
Huh. Why did he get an extra 2 years?
Because we moved. We were allegedly. Now, I remember the story as we, as a family, got kicked out of the private school. But
you as a family got kicked out of the private school.
Yeah. So my sister had also gone to that school as well. So she, I think she was in fourth grade maybe at the time. No, she was young. Maybe she was in second grade.
Somebody you used to know is two years older than you?
Yeah, and she's 5 years younger than me. So she would have been in first grade because I was in sixth. So she was in first grade. So I would have gone there in seventh and she would have gone there in second had we continued to be there, but we were no longer welcomed there as a guest of the private school and we went to a new school.
Yeah.
My parents' version is we moved across town and didn't want to bus us all the way the fuck over there. and it would be more expensive. So we went to closer public schools.
Yeah, yeah.
But I recall being kicked out of the family or kicked out of the school.
You were kicked out of the family.
Yeah.
No, actually, at this point, somebody you used to know was kicked out of the family.
Yes, yes.
By you and your sister.
Correct, yes. Yes.
Not necessarily your parents.
No, but. No, we just separated. We formed an alliance, and we have our own country now. Ah. And he's his own country.
So, and you're at war.
We are definitely at war, but the two of us are allies, and us two are against that family and
that ish.
Yeah. And so we are at war.
It's so interesting. It has nothing to do with this podcast.
We're at country war between the three countries. So, and my parents are definitely Switzerland.
Trying to be.
Trying, yeah. Sometimes they go Canadian, but it's cool.
No, family's family. Yeah, but fuck that guy.
Yeah. Fuck the guy.
Anyways.
Back to Satan. Hail Satan, my friend. What's up, buddy? Whoa. Let's throw down on that. He's listening, by the way.
He's always, amongst. There. Anyways, yeah. I feel like we should actually back up like a few seconds here just so that we'll go right here and let it play out this time. So just so everybody know, we're recording on February 4th.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's that strange.
The story starts that way.
On Wednesday, February 4th, 1987. An anonymous Today's call a was Thursday. Made to the Tallahassee Police
Yesterday
Department.
Was Wednesday.
Yeah.
The also call stated weird. That two well-dressed men were seen watching over six dirty and unkept children, ages 2 to 7, at a playground in Myers Park, Tallahassee. According to an official report of investigation, the children were covered with insect bites and very dirty. Most of the children were not wearing underwear, and all the children had not been bathed in many days. Whereas the two men were found wearing suits and ties. Even more disturbing was their vehicle, a 1979 Dodge van. Inside the van were maps, books, letters, 20 floppy disks, a computer, and a mattress. The vehicle was also described as being foul-smelling, and it appeared as though all eight of them had been living inside that van for quite some time. The two men explained to the police that they were the children's teachers, and that they were driving to a school for brilliant children in Mexico. Police asked the men where the children's mothers were, to which they said they were being weaned from their mothers. The men were arrested on multiple accounts of child abuse, and all eight of them were taken into custody for further questioning. The men identified themselves as Michael Houlihan and Douglas Ammerman. When questioned, the two men were initially apprehensive to communicate. Some reports claim that one of them wouldn't cooperate at all and would enter a trance-like state. Authorities turned their efforts to questioning the six children, and this is where things started to get unsettling. The children were identified as Mary Houlihan, Max Livingston, Benjamin Franklin, Honey B. Evans, B.B., and John Paul Houlihan. Evidently, these were not the children's real names because they didn't have proper names. According to the police, five of the six children were uncommunicative and didn't seem to recognize common items or modern technology, such as typewriters, hot water, or electricity. The sixth and oldest child, Mary, showed signs of sexual abuse. Mary fortunately was able to communicate and give information to investigators. Here's some of what she said. Mary confirmed that the two men were indeed their teachers. However, she wasn't sure where they recently were or where they were going. When asked what her last name was, she replied, "Which one?" She stated that they lived in Washington, in a house with other children and adults. She and the other children mainly survived on a raw fruit and vegetable diet, but were visibly malnourished and only fed as a reward for good behavior. When asked what the two men taught them, she responded with, "How to play games." She said they would receive instructions from their leader, a man known as the Game Caller or Game Leader, later to be known as a man named Marion Petty.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Based on what Mary said, the Tallahassee police decided to contact the DC police in an attempt to identify the six children, only to learn that they were already aware of this group, who called themselves the Finders. According to a 1987 article from the Washington Post, one of the first newspapers to publicize this event, records from the U.S. District Court in Washington showed that an anonymous, confidential source told authorities that the Finders were a cult that conducted brainwashing techniques at a Northeast Washington warehouse and an apartment building near Glover Park. This source told of being recruited by the Finders with promises of financial reward and sexual gratification, and of being invited by one member to explore Satanism with them. According to the affidavit, the source told authorities that the children were used in rituals by the members, and though the source had never witnessed abuse of the children, the source said the children's grandparents feared for their safety. And so, on the following Thursday and Friday, Washington police raided these two areas that were given to them by this confidential police source. Furthermore, evidence found within the seized vehicle pointed to a 90-acre Virginia farm owned by a man named George Marion Petty. Virginia State Police were contacted to visit and search the area as well. At the warehouse in Washington, police found that the windows were boarded shut, and the building was padlocked with a heart-shaped lock. Inside were newspapers and mattresses scattered across various rooms, as if someone had lived there. On one wall were shelves with obscure books, and on the other was a huge map of the entire world. Most disturbingly, DC police uncovered large plastic bags filled with wallet-sized photographs. According to the U.S. Customs Service, some of these photos were of children, similar to school photos, naked children, children engaged in what appeared to be cult rituals involving the slaughtering of goats with three men wearing white robes, and one photo in particular that showed a child in chains. At the apartment building near Glover Park, neighbors were questioned and confirmed that two of the photographed children lived in that building. They also explained that only women and children lived there, but that they would occasionally see men visiting the house. One woman said that the children were often so dirty that they were easy to notice. At the Virginia farm, neighbors reported that they often saw vans containing children that were brought to the farm. According to the Tampa Tribune, one of the neighbors, a woman named Wilma Richards, said, "They'd be hollering and crying all the time, like they wanted something or something was hurting them." Wilma also explained that when she first met Marion Petty, he introduced himself as a Boy Scout leader. Although her and her husband were fucking suspicious of the dozen or so men and children seen at their farm, they never phoned the authorities. On Friday, February 6th, Scott Hunt of the Tallahassee Police Department said, "It is our belief these kids were not kidnapped, but that their parents gave them away, because one of the rites of passage into this satanic organization is that you have to give up your rights to your children, and that the leaders of this organization can do what they want with your children." It was around this time that a series of telephone death threats were being made towards the six children. The calls were described as brief and untraceable. This is strange because the children were transferred to a private foster home, and the police were careful to keep their location a secret. The Palm Beach Post reported that the authorities do not know where the calls originated from or how they located the children. To tell you the truth, we didn't anticipate any death threats against six obviously very forlorn children who are in a very sad state. The fact that we have received death threats has put us on alert, and these children are going to be guarded around the clock. By the weekend, the story of the finders made national headlines as one of the creepiest mysteries of the 80s. Were the finders involved in satanic rituals with children? Were they instead part of a massive human trafficking ring? Where are the children's parents? And what games were the finders playing?
That's what I want to know.
We'll find out.
Good. Monopoly?
Not those kind of games. They're not going to be happy to find out the kind of games they were playing.
Well, I figured it wouldn't.
Amidst all the chaos and mystery, the Tallahassee police managed to get in contact with a man identifying himself as Robert Terrell. Terrell and several other members of the finders believed this all to be a giant misunderstanding, that once the police suggested the possibility of a satanic cult, the media blindly accepted it. Their story was published on the Tampa Tribune on Monday, February 9th. Terrell sent the police a two-page memo detailing the finders' activities in order to clear up any misunderstandings. In the memo, the two men and six children were originally on their way to Berea, Kentucky, where the group was to help establish a retirement community and where the children would be placed in school. However, this trip was delayed. So the group instead went vacationing in Florida with the approval of the children's mothers. Even the founder and financial developer for this retirement home, Reverend Jim Weicker and Carl Shapley respectively, chimed in to explain that the finders were gentle people, searching for new dimensions and lifestyles. As for the photographs found of naked children and goats being slaughtered, Terrell explained that there were simple, innocent explanations for each. First, he explained that Michael Houlihan was a stepfather to one of the children and the biological father to another. The photo of naked children was there because, well, that's what parents tend to have. The goats, on the other hand, were already slaughtered and brought to the group's farm. The men wore white robes to simply protect their clothing and thought that the children should be taught the experience. Terrell explained that the parents of all six children were members themselves of the finders. However, he also notes that many of the adult members of this group were hiding around the country, fearing arrest. There were several reports of sightings of members in Gainesville, Miami, and Tampa. Police also reported that the mothers of the six children were in San Francisco. As for their leader, former members explained that Marion Petty was a retired Air Force Master Sergeant, who, in the late 1960s, started the Finders Group. He sought after those who were intelligent and into the counterculture scene. He would lecture them about the New Age way of living and Eastern mysticism. Marion and his followers decided to start a new generation of children that would be raised by them instead of their parents. In reality, they were largely ignored by the members. However, they claimed to not know anything about supposed child abuse or Satanism taking place within the group.
Deny, deny, deny.
And just like that, the finders were seemingly cleared of suspicion. The media and several newspapers reported on the misconception, saying that, although the finders were strange, there was no evidence of illegal activity. Both Houlihan and Ammerman were freed from jail. The charges were dropped, and the case was closed. The whole event vanished from headlines as quickly as they appeared, and the finders were attributed to nothing more than another instance of satanic panic hysteria.
I think I've seen that picture before.
Maybe.
As you may have suspected, the official story given by Terrell in newspapers did not match up, or at sometimes conflict, with the details given by official reports. For example, Terrell claimed that the men and children were en route to Kentucky, despite Houlihan and Ammerman themselves saying they were going to Mexico. Furthermore, several women from the Finders cult, who claimed to be the mothers of the children, stated that their kids were well taken care of. They attributed their unkept and dirty appearance to them just being kids, despite the reports of malnutrition and sexual abuse. Let's take a closer look at some of these official documents to see what else was suspiciously left out or ignored. On April 13th, 1987, an official U.S. Customs report by Special Agent Ramon J. Martinez was filed. The report mostly follows the same story published by the media. An anonymous call is made about two well-dressed and six dirty and unkept children in Myers Park, Tallahassee. The two men are arrested, and the six children are brought in for questioning. Authorities are eventually led to several properties and buildings that are believed to be owned by the finders. At this point, the stories begin to diverge slightly. Agent Martinez comes into contact with Detective Jim Bradley, who had already been investigating the finders since 1985. The two inspected the apartment building first, where they found large amounts of clothing for toddlers, such as diapers, and toys. They also uncovered documents with detailed instructions on how to obtain children, including trading, kidnapping, purchasing, and the impregnation of finders members. Within a computer were telex messages from across the country and foreign locations about the purchasing of children. One message in particular specifically ordered the purchase of two children in Hong Kong to be arranged in the Chinese embassy. Other findings include an interest in bank secrecy situations, interest in high-tech transfers to the United Kingdom, numerous properties said to belong to the finders, an interest in terrorism and explosives, and how to avoid law enforcement. What's strange is that they also found a detailed summary of Houlihan's and Ammerman's arrest in Tallahassee. This is unusual because Houlihan and Ammerman were taken into custody the night before Martinez's and Bradley's investigation, and well before the Washington Post broke the story. So, somehow, the finders were already aware of their arrest, even before mainstream media. They were also given instructions on how to avoid police capture via a computer network. Agent Martinez and Detective Bradley reconnected the next day, Friday, February 6th, to investigate the warehouse on 4th Street. The warehouse contained a large library, two kitchens, a sauna, a hot tub, and a video room. Inside the video room was something described as an indoctrination center. Martinez goes on to report that the finders seemed capable of producing its own videos, and that jars of urine and feces were also found. At this location were documents describing explicit sexual conduct between members of the finders. A large collection of photographs were also uncovered, containing images of new children on display, adults and children in white sheets participating in a blood ritual, and goats being dismembered, disemboweled, and skinned by the children. Files revealing the activities of the finders in other parts of the world were found, including London, Germany, the Bahamas, Costa Rica, Japan, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Africa, and Europe. Other files describe the finders' projects, such as one plan titled Pentagon Break-In. If that wasn't disturbing enough, there also seemed to be a large amount of information on families and child daycare organizations. According to this report, the finders would respond to various newspaper advertisements for babysitters, tutors, etc. A member would use this opportunity to learn about the habits, identity, occupation, and so on about the family. For what purposes were unknown to the investigators. Agent Martinez concludes his report with the hope that all the information would be sorted, reviewed, and logged by the Washington, D.C.'s Metropolitan Police Department, or the MPD. If his findings were to be true, this would be a strong case against the finders for child abuse and international human trafficking. However, none of that would happen. On April 2nd, 1987, Agent Martinez was to meet with Detective Bradley to review their findings. However, Bradley was unavailable. A third party, who was willing to speak to Martinez on an off-the-record basis, told him that the investigation into the finders had become a CIA internal matter and was classified as secret. The FBI also withdrew from the investigation, and from that point forward, no further information will be available. No further action will be taken.
Weird.
That's the story according to the U.S. Customs report. However, in 2017, the Tallahassee police documents were acquired and uploaded online, and these documents would reveal much more information that was hidden from the public for three decades. First, an investigation into the finder's vehicle further reveals a few radios, boxes containing clothing, fruits, vegetables, a Chinese-English dictionary, a pack of Trojan condoms,
yuck,
a brown canvas bag containing photos of children, some nude, computer programming disks, a piece of paper titled The Ballad of Ballads, which made references to houses in Miami, Hawaii, San Diego, and China, and many, many other items. Second, there was an odd occurrence at Florida State University. According to this report, a student by the name of Robert Sorkine came across a small computer at a public phone booth on campus. During an interview, Robert explained that he was walking past the phone booth when he noticed the computer and took it home with him. During the weekend, he managed to start up the computer and attempted to figure out its owner. Robert discovered information concerning the Tallahassee Police Department and decided to turn the computer over to them. The TPD were able to determine that this computer was owned by somebody involved with the finders. Next, two of the six children, Mary and Max, would describe some of the games the finders would play. One involved taking off the men's clothes, putting them on, and then looking through the pockets.
What's the games?
Max elaborated that they would only remove the men's jackets. Another game was taking a shirt with holes, running away with it, and then tearing it up. Both Mary and Max also noted that women would come downstairs with no clothes. During the interview, some of the other children urinated their pants, and one wanted to go outside to go to the bathroom. After a medical examination from the Tallahassee Department of Health and Rehabilitation Services, this report claimed that two children, Mary and Max, were confirmed cases of sexual abuse. Max lacked anal sphincter control, consistent with sodomy, and Mary showed signs of penetration by fingers. But penile penetration wasn't completely ruled out. John Paul had bite marks on his arm, but doctors couldn't determine if they were from an adult or child due to the marks being 5 days to 2 weeks old. As you can hopefully tell, these are very serious claims made by both detectives and medical experts. Yet, for whatever reason, these reports seem to be ignored.
Nothing happened with them.
How is it that the media reported on finding no evidence of satanic cults or illegal activity, yet a mountain of evidence from the Tallahassee Police Department, DHRS, and Ramon Martinez conflicts with that? Why did the finder's men carry condoms with them? Why were they given a cover story to use if they were caught by the police? Why were there so many connections to China? The Chinese-English dictionary, the files specifying ordering children from Hong Kong, the fact that Mary learned how to count to 10 in Chinese. It would take several years for the Department of Justice to get involved, but eventually they did.
So China's been fucking with their shit since 87.
Well, China's been fucking with our shit for a lot longer than that.
Well, yeah.
It's just... So, up to this point, when I hear, like, everything just gets kind of shut down from, like, CIA or whatever, I instantly think, well, this is MK Ultra shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is, so they ended MKUltra in the 70s.
Allegedly.
But then you know it continued on. I mean, they don't have to, they can say whatever the fuck they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's still happening today. It's just called something else.
Right.
Like, it is. And we're all under it with our mainstream media and all this bullshit. But this was, in my opinion, up to this point, my thoughts are, well, this was just another, instead of taking, you know, a grown adult and, you know, bringing them in and fucking with them with a LSD or whatever, just fucking with their minds, they're using children. So these guys, you know, are just, you know, that Houlihan and the other guy.
Hammerman.
Or probably guys that were, you know, agents. They probably fuck these women, get them pregnant, or kidnap these kids or whatever. And it's like a thing, you know, hidden under the guise of it's a weird cult or right. secret group or whatever. Right. But it is a thing, you know. But they're like, whatever they were trying to see, it's unclear. You'd have to almost read all the files.
Right, because there's a lot of stuff that they're skipping through.
Yeah, and they're just, this guy's just hitting highlights.
Right.
To, you know, otherwise this would be a 19-hour fucking...
Right, 45 different videos.
Yeah, but I think it was like a part of like MKUltra just later on. And it was, otherwise how are you just protected?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Nothing. There's no evidence. Everything's fine.
And, you know, I get some of the excuses that, well, why did you have naked pictures of these kids? Well, that's just something parents have. When they're babies, you know, you take like a whatever, but like, I don't know. There's just too many weird things.
Not 1,000 of them. I mean, it didn't say 1,000, but it had right. bags full.
Of pictures and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's odd. And if some, that's the thing. Like, if you're trying to, like, move towards something, investigate, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in from, say, CIA and says, yeah, we know about this. Stop your investigation. Doesn't
matter.
That seem super fucking suspicious to you?
Well, not that, but they specifically said it's an internal CIA matter. Well,
yeah.
That means there's CIA involved.
Yeah.
It's a big fucking problem.
Yeah.
But no, we're cool. We'll
it's like, how can you have that much fucking power to come in and, regardless of whatever the fuck you're trying to test, like, that's weird. It's weird.
Right.
What are we doing here? It's
not like that,
weird.
But they should have stopped and said, wait a minute, CIA shouldn't have any jurisdiction in America, so there shouldn't be a CIA internal matter.
Yeah. I mean, no. It's weird. I guess we're about halfway through this video, so I guess we'll continue.
By the 1990s, Martinez's reports on the finders remained kept away, and the hysteria surrounding the Satanic Panic had subsided. In December 18, 1993, news broke out that the Department of Justice began looking into the finders, this time under the aura of conspiracy. According to a private detective named Skip Clements, he claimed that the U.S. Customs Service investigators were called off of the investigation by the CIA. The investigation was impeded, said Clements. A senior official at Customs said it, the finders, was a CIA operation. Clements's accusations reached at least two members of Congress, who were reportedly unsure what to believe in. Regardless, the Department of Justice began conducting an investigation into whether or not the CIA were involved with the finders. However, a CIA spokesperson named David Christian claimed this to be a misunderstanding on Martinez's behalf. When Agent Martinez was told that the investigation into the finders had become a CIA internal matter, this was actually because one of the members of the finders was employed as a part-time accountant at a computer training school called Future Enterprises, Inc. This location was also where employees from the CIA received computer training in the 1980s. Prompting an internal investigation. Vice President of Future Enterprises at the time, Joseph Marinich, confirmed that his company did train CIA operatives, but denied any allegations that the CIA used it as a front company for the finders.
bullshit.
However, according to the Washington Times, a 1987 police document quotes a CIA agent confirming his agency was sending its people to a Finders Corporation, Future Enterprises, for training in computer operations. It also notes that a later customs report said that the CIA admitted to owning the Finders organization as a front for domestic computer training operations, but that it had gone bad. Make that as you will. In an article by U.S. News, Florida's House of Representative member Tom Lewis states, "Could our own government have something to do with this Finders organization and turn their backs on these children? That's what all the evidence points to, and there's a lot of evidence. I can tell you this. We've got a lot of people scrambling, and that wouldn't be happening if there was nothing here." However, the Finders still uphold their innocence. In an interview between U.S. News and Marion Petty himself, Petty describes the Finders as a company that does freelance journalism, research, and competitor intelligence. He also denies any claims that they work for foreign companies. Petty claims that the reason why the CIA is interested in him and the Finders is because his late wife once worked for the CIA. His son also worked for a CIA proprietary firm, Air America. Although, the Tallahassee Police Reports does mention something interesting. When word first broke out about the Finders, Lieutenant Lee Hart of the Virginia Police Department got in contact with somebody from the cult. This contact told Hart that Petty had alerted members to flee and hide. He further elaborated that Petty would have probably gone to the Andrews Air Force Base and take a military plane to China. The outcome of the Justice Department's investigation is never made clear in the documents that I was able to uncover. However, I think it's pretty safe to say that the investigation was either concluded or secretly dropped with no actions being placed against the Finders or the CIA. Many of the sources I found claim that the Finders had fewer and fewer members as the years went on, with some stating that less than a dozen were remaining. The Finders were never heard from again after this investigation, and Marion Petty passed away in 2004. So, here we are, several years later. Now we get to the fun part. In 2019, the FBI Records Twitter account released a 600-page document about their investigation into the Finders cult. Knowing everything we know now, what was told by mainstream media, what was reported by Agent Martinez, and about the cult members and Marion Petty, let's dive in. Now, we won't be going through all 600 pages, as a large majority of it is still redacted.
Not long enough.
But I do want to point out some interesting bits of information in these documents regarding the Finders. The Department of Justice, the DOJ, has requested the FBI conduct a preliminary inquiry into allegations made by, I'm assuming, Skip Clements, concerning child sexual abuse by a group known as the Finders, and what role, if any, was played by the United States intelligence community. On February 4th, 1987, Michael Houlihan and Douglas Ammerman were arrested by the Tallahassee Police Department, the TPD, on misdemeanor child abuse charges resulting from a complaint that six children playing in a park were unkept and neglected. Houlihan and Ammerman, the two subjects with the children, could not initially provide sufficient information as to their legal custody of the children, and were uncooperative regarding their identity and the children's identity. As a result of information developed during these arrests, the TPD contacted the Metropolitan Police Department and provided information concerning, I think, the CIA and their association with a group known as the Finders, based in Washington, D.C. On February 5th, 1987, the MPD executed search warrants prepared by the United States' Attorney's Office, District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., on two properties owned by the finders. Special Agent Ramon Martinez participated in these searches. Department of Justice's review of the United States' Customs Service documents indicates that during the execution of the search warrants by the MPD at the two finders' properties, the warehouse and the apartment, United States Customs Service secret agent Martinez claims to have observed a substantial amount of computer equipment and documents purportedly containing instructions for obtaining children for unspecified purposes. The instructions allegedly included the impregnation of female members of the community, purchasing children, trading children, and kidnapping them. Martinez claims, and a whole bunch of redacted. Martinez has alleged that the finders are involved in a well-organized child abuse scheme, and that redacted, probably the CIA, I think, in conjunction with the State Department and the FBI's Foreign Counterintelligence Section, conspired to cover up those abuses. Quick edit, this is definitely the CIA because a later FBI document has the same text, but without the CIA being redacted, so yeah. This page, real quickly, is kind of weird. Well, it's not really weird. I just can't... I have difficulty reading this.
It's handwritten like
section
shit.
Handled and pen something of CIA employees. I had a tough time reading this, but at the very bottom of this letter said, "Finders, definitely not a CIA front." So if anybody wants to download this and try to interpret it, that'd be great. This part right here is interesting. Redacted, I assume this is Jim Bradley, also advised that he had been told that the documentation had been located in the WMPD files to indicate that Sergeant John Steicher, deceased, who had been a sergeant during the finder search, had been contacted by a redacted, who told them to step away from the finder's case, allegedly redacted. So someone told them to step away from the case for some reason. Additional search warrant executed on farm in rural Virginia with support by Virginia State Police. No federal involvement. Evidence of satanic/cult ritual discovered. Based on observed documents, customs agent unsuccessfully attempts to gain access to evidence for detailed analysis for use in investigating possible exports, Neutrality Act, Mann Act, and child pornography violations. So this agent tried to gain access to the evidence, but was unsuccessful for some reason. And then a big redacted. Blank contacts MPD intelligence and advised that all reports regarding finders are to be classified at the secret level. Blank also advised that no information was to be turned over to the FBI WFO for investigation, and that the WFO would not be advised of the blank involvement slash contact. Children discovered in Tallahassee were eventually turned over to the individuals claiming to be parents or guardians. No further MPD, FBI, or customs involvement. As far as is known, no details of blank involvement ever became public. Search warrants. Based on the information received from the source and from the authorities in the state of Florida, blank authorized a search warrant for the premises of blank, Washington, D.C. Search warrants were executed for the premises of blank by members of the MPD Intelligence Division on February 5th to 6th, 1987. Although no children were found, large amounts of documents dealing with child rearing and shaping were recovered, along with manuals for master plans and dirty tricks for enemies of the finders group. All this information was turned over to the Florida authorities for evaluation.
What's child rearing?
And then the medical reports
like
are redacted.
Grooming kind of?
And the psychological reports are redacted.
Well, let's look it up. I mean, child rearing.
Yeah, I would assume it's got to be like grooming.
They're process of bringing up a child or children. Mm. So, yeah, grooming, raising.
Right, yeah. It's like child bearing. You know, bearing would be giving the child birth.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay.
So it's like once...
Like raising, yeah. Teaching the child, I guess. Okay. Strange.
Yeah.
21 former finders have been interviewed concerning their involvement in the organization. They stated that the organization began as an alternative lifestyle in the 1960s, and many of them became disenchanted with the quasi-military order under the direct supervision of blank. Many of the former members stated that they feared retribution from the finders organization. In the case of blank, she needed police intervention to stop the harassment of the finders. In the blank case, redacted, was burned down and remains an open arson. In the blank case, members of the finders attempted to infiltrate blank in the United States. In general, all members of the finders who had left the group felt that harm would come to them if they spoke out against blank, I'm assuming Marion Petty, or his organization. Detective Blank interviewed all the family members who were willing to talk. Specifically, they all stated that Blank had brainwashed their children and prevented any contact with either their children or grandchildren. Members of the finders, according to family members, would stop any contact by sending letters describing explicit sexual acts involving current members, including photographs and drawings.
Jesus.
In the Blank case, members of the finders attempted to take over the Blank family residence and force Blank out of her home.
Can you imagine getting a picture of that?
I might know who this is, but we'll get to that later.
That'd be fucked up.
Special Agent Blank of the Virginia State Police stated that his organization executed search warrants at the finders' farm in Madison County, Virginia. Blank stated that this group appeared to be a survivalist organization with attempts to take over the city government in Culpeper, Virginia. During Virginia State's investigation, information was revealed that bodies were buried on the farm at the Nethers, but excavation revealed nothing. However, cages were discovered on the premises that witnesses revealed were used to keep children during their visits to the farm. FBI investigation. The FBI had contact with the finders since 1971, including a recent report dealing with CIA involvement with at least one of the members of the finders, passing information overseas concerning activities of the Central Intelligence Agency. When it became apparent that no federal laws were violated, the FBI vacated the investigation. Summary.
So, at this point, it was either this started out as some, like, weird cult thing, CIA found out about it.
And kind of took over.
And kind of took over it, and then decided, and, like, kind of is using it to do whatever, you know, they were going to do. Because that's what they do. I mean, all these front companies and shit like this, like, you know, the CIA will literally create a, like, for instance, an airline or a, you know, all these different front companies. Like, companies will run as they're supposed to.
Right.
T-shirt business, whatever. And you don't, in a way for, like, money laundering and things like this, like, they do all this shit. I mean, It's crazy or they actually started this fucking cult as a cult as the front company.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't know, but either way, there was involvement.
There had to have been.
Well, clearly there was, because it's all over the fucking document.
All over the page, yeah.
They've even admitted that they had involvement. They shut down the investigation into this. So there was a reason they didn't want more getting out or more investigated or whatever. For that alone, why?
Right.
You know what I mean? Why would you shut that down? We know you had involvement. What were you doing? Did you co-opt this cult that already existed, or did you create this cult as a front company for some other program that you were running?
Right.
That's the question here. We know the CIA was behind it in some way, shape, or form, though.
It is the writer's belief that the Finders organization is and has been utilized by the Central Intelligence Agency as a disinformation service spreading non-essential, non-critical information to various organizations throughout the United States and overseas. This group, to the most part, is made up of overeducated non-achievers who lacked the inborn initiative to succeed on their own. Therefore, they fell in with a charismatic leader who gave them directions and self-importance. To the most part, this organization individually is harmless. However, when directed and monitored by a controlling factor, they are capable of destructive and illegal activities. As in any cult structure, the main drive is for the group, and individual values and ideology is lost. Therefore, when a member is asked to perform a task that heretofore may have been objectionable, he or she performs this mission for the good of the group. As to the abuse of the children, I do not think that child abuse was a planned tactic of this group. But as in any cross-section of society, sick and demented subjects belong to a cult as well. I do believe that the shaping of the children is a planned experiment of this group. As in the case of the Nazis, they strove for a perfect society, thereby in their own way tried to form a group of children and ultimately adults that did not suffer from the ills of normal society, but took only the benefits that afforded them perfection. Lastly, I do not feel that the Finders have disbanded, as reported by their leaders, but instead, as reported in their master plan, have appeared to disband to prevent further detection by law enforcement or social service officials. I firmly believe that this group should be monitored in a general sense, and if further developments occurred, they should be noted. The second of these FBI files contains newspaper articles and a redacted version of the Tallahassee police reports, so we'll be skipping over that. The Ballot of Ballots can also be found. It's an interesting read, but we'll also skip it. Remember earlier when it was mentioned that ex-members feared for their safety? Here's a small tidbit about it. Redacted, Petty I believe, operates out of a multi-apartment residence located at blank and uses telephone numbers blank. He has used a number of bank accounts to hide the funds obtained from the group members. Petty also utilized a warehouse located at blank. This location is a front for the organization and operates as a few distribution points for the needy. Blank is currently blank. However, Petty will not tolerate anyone leaving the cult. Blank feels his experience to date with respect to the harassing letters and threats have all been related to his attempt to leave the cult. Petty also uses group members as enforcers to apply physical pressure as well as psychological pressure.
Does that sound like, what's the one that Tom Cruise is in? The those guys? Scientology?
Yeah, I was gonna say the Scientology.
It's very Scientology-esque in terms of that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's also very reminiscent of NXIVM.
I was thinking NXIVM at first, and you said Tom Cruise, so it kind of threw me off. But yeah,
NXIVM, Scientology, they both use people within the group as enforcers mm-hmm. to, you know what I mean?
Keep them within the group.
Which is, I guess, typical cult activity. I mean, mm-hmm. every cult probably does a version of this.
Oh, yeah.
This makes you wonder how many cults were started maybe by the CIA.
All of them. I wonder if Koresh?
David Koresh?
Yeah, I wonder if his cult was started by the CIA.
I don't know. You know, it's something to look into. I don't know. Because they let the FBI burn that shit down.
Maybe there was a lot of CIA.
In case, maybe that if they would actually got in and talk to these people. Yeah. I mean, the people that did get out, they've never mentioned it.
What was the other one up in the mountains?
Well, I don't know. But go back even further to Manson, Charles Manson.
Yeah.
And his little cult that he was doing. There's a lot of weird connections with the CIA there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it makes the CIA is involved in everything. Yep. Yet they're not supposed to be operating in the United States with things. But yet that's all they are. Up and down.
Yeah.
CIA is the fucking deep state, bro. Part of it, at least.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, deep state's everywhere. Your deep state.
Well,
Well, I'm just kidding. But
Stately Deep.
It's weird, though, like, just how fucking... And I bet you this eventually, like, ties into somewhere down the road, or a version of this. This was, like, an early version of, like, Epstein and his island and all this. It's weird how all this stuff all kind of connects.
Mm-hmm.
It's one giant fucking spider web, dude.
It is.
He identified these individuals as Blink. Blink is reputed to be Blink. Both individuals are violence prone. Blink said Petty's harassment campaign utilizes letters to apply psychological pressure, and these are followed up by personal visits from Blink. Blink believes both of these individuals also perpetuate the arsons ordered by Blink. Probably Petty. Blink related an incident occurring in January 1983, which involved cult member Barbara Sylvester Matija, who attempted to leave the cult. She was physically restrained in Blink residence. Matija subsequently became ill and required medical attention. Blank refused to allow her to obtain this attention, and she died on the premises. Blank said he does not believe that there was any police investigation of the death.
Not surprised.
On October 22, 1991, the undersigned received a telephone notification from Officer Blank. Officer Blank advised that he and two footmen have observed activity which they believe is suspicious in nature. The officers have observed numerous well-dressed males who operate rental cars and expensive luxury-type models enter the building located at Blink at late and early morning hours. The subjects and their vehicles do not fit the area in which this building is located, namely the market area of NE. On at least one occasion, the officers have observed adult males with a young male child enter the building. This occurred after the midnight section had reported for duty on the streets. On another occasion, Officer Blank stopped a van after it was observed leaving the building in the early morning hours. The van displayed tags which were not listed to a van. The operator identified himself as Blank. He told the officer that he did research stuff. He also stated that he babysat children for diplomats. The officer advised the undersigned that the building and the neighborhood is not fit for babysitting activity, especially after midnight. The subject's story was very suspicious to the officer.
He researched stuff.
The van is listed to Blank, white male. The vehicle is described as Blank. The officer advised that, to the best of his recollection, this building is the same building which was raided by police approximately Blank years ago for some type of child pornography. Now, the finders aren't mentioned here. But the fact that this is in the finder's files leads me to believe that this building, which was seen with well-dressed males and at least one child, was the same building used by the finders. Okay, so this portion of the video was way longer than I expected, so we're just going to go over one last page before I close things off. Blank was interviewed within the Office of General Counsel, Central Intelligence Agency, Langley, Virginia. After being advised as to the identity of the interviewing agent and the purpose of the interview, Blank provided the following information. Blank advised that he retired from the CIA on Blank. He indicated that in February 1987, he was Blank, Special Activities Division, Office of Security. Blank stated that his date of birth was Blank, and his social security account number Blank, and that he's a white male. Blank related that the Special Activities section within the Office of Security was responsible for counterintelligence work, to include internal investigations of CIA employees, media leak investigations, and investigations dealing with the impersonation of CIA employees. Blank indicated that his office had a regular interface with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the United States Department of State, and the Defense Intelligence Agency. Blank was shown photocopies of his February 18, 1987 memorandum and a February 19, 1987 Washington Metropolitan Police Department report of investigation, both documents concerning the finders group. Blank was then asked to relay his recollection of the circumstances regarding his memo and the finders group. Blank related that his first involvement with the finders group most probably began in 1987 as a result of the media's coverage of the finder's investigation. Blank advised that the media at the time was indicating that the finders had some connection to the CIA. Blank related further that he had looked into the matter and recalled that there were only two connections between the CIA and the finders group. Blank stated that the first connection was that, and then the next three pages are
Holy
redacted. So yeah, all that's gone.
It's not important.
No, it just implicates CIA.
Mm-hmm. All of it.
So,
if nothing else, I hope this video helps people understand the finders, as it feels largely ignored. Although there definitely was a lot of paranoia about satanic cults during the 80s, and admittedly, people do tend to fear the worst, I think the mystery of the finders is more complicated than that. In order to believe the official story, one would have to discount a large amount of other evidence and official documentation. Did Martinez imagine or lie about his findings? Did the medical experts incorrectly reported that two of the finder's kids showed signs of sexual abuse? If you want a much more in-depth look into the finders, I recommend The Conscious Resistance. He's done a lot of research into the finders, even before the FBI released their documents. His channel has an interview with Robert Terrell, where he still defends the group to this day. I also recommend We've Read the Documents. They've gone into this way more than I have, and I've admittedly left some details and names out, but this video should be a good brief overview of the finders. So, where are the finders now? They live among us. They walk beside us. They're hidden in plain sight. During the 1987 interview with ex-members, one said, "This is a group that for 15 or 20 years has done nothing but practice flexibility and invisibility. You will never find them."
Because they find you.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, that's basically the end of the video. So, like, you know, we could have done, you know, looked into those other two things that he says, which I intend to do, but I figured for a opener.
Yeah, it's a good introduction to it.
Yeah. It's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't understand, like, the point of releasing files with that much redaction. Like, what's the point of it? You don't get much information. I mean, that's kind of the point. They don't want you to have the information. But
partly because probably FOIA and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and it is interesting, like, the shit that is left in and then the shit that, because, like, let's say, you know, there's been a lot of things that have, you know, somebody does a FOIA request, say, in the 80s, and there's all this redacted shit. Then they do a FOIA request 20 years later for the exact same thing, and things that were redacted before aren't redacted now.
Right.
And it'll be something really stupid. Like, why was that even redacted?
Yeah. The trees. Why was the trees redacted?
Yeah, you know? Or something. Yeah. It's dumb. It's like, that doesn't make sense, like, why you needed to keep that piece a secret in the 80s, but now, literally, like, the tree or sidewalk, like, that wouldn't have done anything in the 80s if that had not been. So I almost wonder if some of the redaction, I get the names to protect people that are still alive, maybe
names,
whatever.
Data birth, social security number, but I get that.
Other things, it's like, why?
Like the cop.
How did they decide? And I think they just do shit for, like, stupid fun, to make you think it's something more than it is.
Yeah, like the car.
It's disinformation in a way. Yeah.
You know, what would that prove? What kind of car it is? That's CIA had only these cars. There's the only ones that could buy those cars. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I don't get that.
Like, and maybe it was because maybe at that time, CIA had a front company that built or sold those kinds of vans or cars or something. So they feared maybe that it would tie it back. It was like an overthought, though, maybe. Like, like at the time, they thought, you got to redact that because we're using these in a lot of operations. Mm. Not taking into account that there's 80,000 of those vans all across the country that aren't them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but they they have. That's why I'm saying, like, 20 years later, it could get revealed of this event, and you're like, yeah, there was 190,000 of those vans made over the course of a period of time. You would have never fucking made that connection,
right?
At the time,
right?
You know what I mean? But at the time, they were over protecting their, for whatever reason. I'd also like to be the guy who is sitting in an office somewhere and be like, yeah, Ryan, we got a FOIA request for this. Go through it and redact everything that shouldn't be, and just be like, okay.
And like the one that was 3 pages long, there's not a word that says the in there that they could have left in.
No, they had like a U. You see that? It was like a U in brackets, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Which is, that's weird. Like, in no other document have I ever seen a U in brackets. So what's that? And it's like right in the middle of the page. And yeah, it'd be like three on one page. But otherwise, it's all redacted.
Yeah.
To me, that's somebody wanted to go home on a Friday afternoon a little early and was like, oh, fuck it.
I'll get back to these. I'll mark these here so I don't forget where I'm at. And then just upload it and be like, oh, I'm done. Oh, shit, I didn't do that. Yeah. Oh, fuck it.
It's kind of, I don't know. So then, what was it? It was, what was the website? It was FBI Vault, or Vault FBI .gov or something like that. Or maybe it was FBI Vault. What the fuck was it? Okay.
Google or Bing search it.
Vault.fbi.gov. Did I not type that in originally?
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah, I did too. All right.
Maybe because you did HTTP first?
No. Oh, fucking assholes. I just want to see. Oh, there it is. So these were... Part 1 was published October 25th, 2019. Part 2 was published January 29th, 2020. And Part 3, February 18th, 2020.
Weird.
So 600 pages total. So 200, 200, and 200, I'm guessing, roughly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's weird, and I feel like it's, well, the guy alluded to in the video that it's still, they're still existing. But
no one's talking about it. Like, I haven't heard about it ever.
That's what, and it's not like I went searching because I didn't know this existed. It hit like one video and it goes to the next and goes, you know, how you go, while I'm doing shit, I'm just listening to whatever. This comes up and I listen to the whole thing and I'm like, well, that's fucking weird. So, you know, I made a mental note. So then, like, probably a month or two after that, I was like, you know, I want to listen to that shit again because it kind of was like stuck there with the whole, like, because a lot of this shit that I like, conspiracy-wise, it always seems to tie back to CIA involvement in some way, shape, or form. And it's like, how in the fuck can they... They're literally involved in everything.
Yeah.
Your mainstream news, your fucking... Everything. They are just involved in everything.
When they should be involved in nothing here.
Well, that's what they're supposed to not be involved in anything here. They're supposed to be... collecting, gathering intelligence from around the world so that we can fucking protect ourselves and be the number one country. Instead, I think they're involved in terms of, like, working with China to take us over. Mm-hmm. Like, I think literally everything they do is against the United States, yet they're supposed to be working to protect. You know what I mean?
Right.
It literally seems like the fucking organization, maybe it was intended one way, but it's completely flipped on its fucking... Yeah. So you go back to, like, JFK... with his statement, he's going to splinter the fucking CIA into a million pieces. That's what needs to happen. And I think that's what Trump was headed towards.
Yeah.
Instead, these fucking idiots. I vote for Biden because Trump's bad on, or mean on Twitter.
Orange Boogeyman's terrible guy.
It's like, Jesus Christ, are we this fucking stupid? Like, we were trying to, I don't know. It's like, it makes you wonder, had they not been involved in all this shit, where would we be as a country? Like, if they were actually doing the things they were supposed to be doing, instead of, you know, and I get some of the stuff. I kind of understand some of the stuff that they were doing with the MK Ultra shit. They were testing to see if they sent agents into Russia or whatever, China, wherever, and they were to be captured, the kind of torture and stuff that they would do they're testing a lot of stuff in that MK Ultra stuff with LSD and all that,
right.
Or offering them hookers, and would you get them drunk? Would they start talking about the stuff that they know about our government? And they wanted to test this shit because they weren't sure what other countries were going to do if a spy were captured or something. Right. And so they were trying to see if they're given LSD, are they going to start talking about what they do? So they wanted to see how far, or can we use this drug on if we capture one of their spies here? Can we get information out of them? You know what I mean? So I get that. But at the same time, it's like, I think they literally started out with good intentions. And it's just, just human beings in general, they turn into fucking maniacs, animals, and fucked up people. And the power, because they can literally gallivant around doing anything untouched. Yeah. They're just covered. Oh, stop investigating. Like, I was fucking a child last night, got caught, but now CIA stepped in and,
we're cool,
it's like, how? I don't give a shit what kind of research you're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
For the good of the country. I don't see how fucking a kid has any good for this country. Look what Epstein was doing. He was using teenage girls.
Right.
Bringing in diplomats and scientists and all these people to blackmail them. So basically get them all drunk, fuck these girls, get it on camera, blackmail them to then get them to do things for them or have control over these business people, these scientists, these whatever. So when somebody sits here and says, oh, scientists don't lie, I always say, well, follow the fucking money. Who owns these scientists? Who funds these scientists? Of course they're going to give you bullshit results in COVID to fit who's paying them.
Yep.
And if they're blackmailed with fucking pedophile tape, this is why I say everybody in Hollywood, every scientist that you think you're blackmailed, they're never going to release your tape because it would expose that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck it. Come out and say, this is what happened. I was blackmailed. I didn't want to do this. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. If all of them came out, the whole system would crash down on them, dude. It
but
would
never do it because they're a bunch of pussies.
It's pussy, and they know. Well, my movie career will be over. Well, guess what, Tom Hanks? It already is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm done with it. More people need to be done with it. You know what I mean?
There's more and more people coming out that are against America, like celebrities that are against America that claim that they're not. That pissed me off. Like Jason Bateman. I'm fucking done watching his shit.
Yeah,
which sucks because I love his new TV show on fucking Netflix, but I'm done with him.
That's the thing. A lot of there's a lot of actors that I liked in their movies and shit like that. I have overall, as an actor, I like Matt Damon. I have a fucking terrible time even trying to watch his Jason Bourne shit now, knowing how much of a fucking liberal piece of shit he is. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. I love wrestling. I will not watch another Rock movie.
Right.
Well, somebody, why? I don't understand. Because he sat there and said, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden you should vote for them. The only reason he did that is because he's trying to fucking, he's got a bed made in China. Mm-hmm. He makes more money in China off his movies than he does in America. Yep. So it was all China based. It's a selfish fucking act. Rather than trying to fix the fucking corruption in this country, you would rather make a bunch. Well, guess what? There's not going to be a fucking Hollywood for you to make movies in, asshole, under this idiot that you told people to vote for. It's selfish piece of shit. I'm done with them. And this goes on and on and on. Go down a fucking list of actors that I'm done with their shit. You know what I mean? It's unfortunate because they won't have my football if I did that. Well, fuck off your football. You don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? People should give a fuck.
You know
what should happen.
You know when the last time I watched a football game was? Like 7-8 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
No,
I don't.
You know? It's hard for you probably because you watched shows and movies and shit like that. And if you literally cut out every piece of shit actor that exists out there, you wouldn't have anything to watch.
No, I would watch a black screen.
You know, and it's unfortunate. So, like, I get it. You know, I'll probably watch a Tom Hanks movie at some point again. It's not like I'm going to go back and say, well, I can never watch Road to Perdition or... Mm. Castaway.
They should take Tom Hanks out of Big because he's a child pedophile. If they're going to take Trump out of Home Alone 2, we should take Tom Hanks out of Big.
Yeah, I mean,
You know what I mean?
It's that's a, such a dumb thing that they would want to take Trump out of Home Alone too. Like, who gives a shit? And honestly, you could edit that scene. You don't have to take him out of that scene. Just edit that scene out of the movie. I don't think it makes or breaks that movie.
No.
But the whole point of it is these actors. This is a bigger issue. These actors, deep down, I don't think they actually believe the shit that they're saying. They're actors.
Yep.
They're being told by, well, if you want to make this next movie or these, you want to have a career here, you have to toe this line.
Yep.
But yet I think a lot of them, deep down, they disagree with it. I have to assume that.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of them have their own liquor companies now.
So they have another
way to...
They have a backup.
So what if they do end up going against the mainstream media in China and all that shit, they have a fallback.
But here's the thing. I would rather them... like, you see a lot of actors that have never commented on anything political.
Hmm.
Take advice to what those people are doing, Joe or Seth Rogen and all these real vocal people that put their shit out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're maybe keeping your liberal, but they're not the fucking majority. They're not the one. They don't have jobs. They're not going to buy your movie ticket, moron.
Right.
All the rest of us that are the majority are the ones that will go see your shit, but not anymore.
And not only that, the people that you're supporting is keeping America shut down with the pandemic bullshit.
Yeah.
So we can't even go to the movie theater to see your fucking movie anyways.
And it's like they don't even understand how fucking stupid they are.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. But they're also being told, toe this line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not having it explained to them you know what I mean? And it's just so deep. And I do think it's all, I mean, we know China's behind the fucking election fraud. Joe Biden is China.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're being ran by this goddamn country. We're being taken over. We've been taken over, I guess.
Right, right.
Like, it's crazy. And I think the CIA is right there hand in hand. You know, I honestly think it's not the Central Intelligence. It's the China Intelligence Agency.
Right.
CIA is China Intelligence Agency working within this country that's not supposed to work in this country, but is.
Yeah. They won't work in China.
Infestation.
They can't work in
their home. It's the China Infestation Agency.
Yeah. And well, like they said, they'll never fire. They'll take over America and they'll never fucking fire a shot. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. And they've been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
The Finders were involved with China shit. Who? Maybe they were funding that shit back then.
Mm-hmm.
Why was there a weird China connection? I'd like to find out. Because there was weird things with China there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Finders are worldwide. Remember that?
Yep.
I mean, they said they had
a map of
things
across the world, yeah.
And they had like addresses and shit in all these different countries all around.
Like 12 different countries, dude.
It's like weird. The Bahamas. Well, that's right down there by Epstein's fucking island.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
ship and jump away, yeah.
Who else owns an island down there? Joe Biden.
Yep.
Not saying it's a direct connection, but, you know, this step, it to me, looks like a clear step to what eventually became Epstein's operation,
mm-hmm.
or was it Ghislaine Maxwell's operation? You know what I mean? Right. Whatever. It's a clear step to that. They were using children. He went up to teenagers, you know? Mm-hmm. And could this have been a black? I don't know. I don't know what the Finders was.
Right.
Exactly. They were trying to do something with children. And it could have been that maybe they were trying to develop these kids into, you know, spies or something. I don't, who the fuck knows?
Right.
That's what I want to know more about. Like, what was their main goal here?
What was the premise? Yeah, what were they trying to accomplish?
But it's redacted or whatever. So, could, if they're still around, still operating, they may not call themselves the Finders anymore. They may call themselves something else, and you would never know. Maybe it became NXIVM. Maybe it became Scientology. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's all mixed together and they have
different sections of it.
Darius. Different. It was different
various.
And various.
Yeah.
So it becomes Darius. different and various segments scattered throughout everywhere.
Yeah.
And we know them publicly as these other organizations. I don't know. It's weird.
It is.
It is weird. I wonder, had Trump never got in, if we would have ever learned about or had the taking down of, say, Jeffrey Epstein, NXIVM, Ghislaine Maxwell? Would any of that have ever happened, or would all that shit have been covered up Like it had been covered up.
It would have been covered up the whole time.
You know what I mean?
It's been covered up for years. It'll continue to be. Now that Trump's not in there, they'll still continue to cover shit up.
Yeah.
It's still going on. They're just not talking about it. Cause,
well, to be fair, we haven't heard anything about Ghislaine Maxwell in months. But July this year, she's supposed to be on trial. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. How are you going to shove that under the rug? Is it going to be... If that happens, there should be fucking outrage. Mm-hmm. And a clear, like, how could you allow this to happen, you piece of shit Biden? It would just... It makes him look even... But it doesn't seem to matter. He's just... All these executive orders, just fucking whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so fucking obvious... People just want to go back to normal. They don't want somebody to be mean on fucking Twitter. Have you been on Twitter? That's all it is people being mean, for Christ's sakes.
Do you see this shit Kamala Harris said the other day that she wants to go through voter registry and find out who voted for Trump?
Oh, yeah.
What the? That's so fucking wrong.
Yeah.
On so many levels. Like, that's the whole point of having it, like, be a curtain. You can't see. It's like, that's your choice.
Wait, because,
it's not her fucking business.
Because they need to go in and re-educate or exterminate.
Yeah.
Because... Truth and logic doesn't fit with what they're trying to fucking do. Mm-hmm. And they know if truth and logic gets out there, hence the reason you should only watch CNN.
Right.
The Central Intelligence News Network. Should be CINN.
It's the China News Network.
China. It is. It's the CIA is China Infestation Agency is what it is.
I like it. I do like that.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. But, yeah... It's crazy that, but at the same time, shouldn't liberals with their safe spaces and cry rooms and all that be re-educated to understand fucking truth and logic? I mean, that's my perspective on things.
No, they have a choice not to. No, they don't need to.
Yeah, but aren't they? They're in the fucking way. Just like, I mean, that's the problem. Both sides. I don't consider myself a Republican at all.
I don't either.
But, what I like is fucking the country and my job and my future. Oh, that's selfish. The Rock was trying to... Yeah, but he's trying to make money in a different country. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your company sells stuff to other countries. And we develop them in other countries, too. I get it. But I'm not going to shit on my country because another country...
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm not
That's
selling
the
out
difference.
My country.
Yeah, he is. The Rock's a fucking sellout.
Yep, exactly.
So are all these people. And I also apply logic and, that to these fucking decisions and how shit should be done. I don't see how you addressing me by some fucking pronoun that I've decided and I'm going to have pink hair and, protest as Antifa and support Black Lives Matter, yet I'm racist and, all this shit that's these people, not shower, things like that.
Right. Live in my basement with my parents.
Never get a job because it's all owed to me. Bernie Sanders is the greatest, even though the Democrats keep stealing it, but I'll keep voting for the Democrats because it's got me so far. It's so stupid. Like, how stupid do you have to be?
Apparently very.
I need to go get my college degree from this liberal fucking college with liberal professors and only learn so I can get this fucking degree in something that I'll never fucking do so I can go be a barista.
Mm-hmm.
Live in my mom's basement. Have so much fucking student loan debt that I'll never be able to pay it off because I'm just a barista.
Yep. And then when you retire at 30 because you just don't want to work anymore, you're going to be able to collect unemployment or retirement.
To be fair, we're going to school until we're 35 at least.
True.
And then we work from 35 to 37, then retire because it's just too much. And I'm never going to be able to pay this shit off. Or you could fucking not have gone to college for something stupid, which brings me back to, why are colleges offering stupid programs that you don't need? And they shouldn't. It should be against the law to do that. Or if you want to take something that there isn't, you want to offer a fucking stupid thing that there's no way you're ever going to get a job in that, you don't get a student loan for that.
It's free.
You pay out of pocket.
It's free.
That's called an elective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't need that because it's never going to result. And if you're able to find that niche, then guess what? More power to you of a job from some fucking anthropological anal studies of the raccoon. I'm sorry. You don't need a degree in that. Because you don't need to study that. That's stupid. It does nothing for the fucking progression of our country or society.
Nope.
And I'm being exaggerated, ridiculous.
No, I know. But if
for
that's the
those
kind of
that
shit,
took
though,
that serious.
The shit is so fucking stupid like that, though.
There's so many things. Like, do something that's fucking is a need for. You know what I mean? God.
Should just have trade school and that's it.
Damn, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And do we need to go through 4 fucking years of college for some things or 2 years for other? Like, you know what I mean? Focus on your goddamn trade where you can actually fucking produce something, make money for this country.
Be a productive member of society.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. Anyway, I don't know where through that roundabout way. The Finders.
Yes, yes.
So, I don't know.
Well, we should do more on them. We'll go to the other guy's page.
Yeah, I'm curious to, like, keep digging. And, you know, I'd like to see the 600 pages. So, I'm probably going to download these files here and
go through the redacted.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Like, okay, so this was. It's not even like I could hit them with another FOIA request and get updated.
Right.
Because it just came out a year. They're not going to have changed that much in that amount of time. But I wonder if you can hit the Department of State Department or any of that. Because these are just the FBI's files. If you could hit these other organizations, CIA, with a FOIA request for their stuff on those. And, you know, because this guy had in his video there we just watched, he had police reports that were redacted and police reports unredacted.
Yeah.
Well, where did he get those police reports? So obviously he must have went to the Tallahassee Police Department and got the unredacteds or something. So, I mean, in doing, I mean, there's a lot there. I don't know even know the process of going to apply for a FOIA request or whatever, but I'm curious. I'd like to do that and see, you know, hit everything. Because what's the worst they're going to say? No.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like it's fucking whatever. Or I could end up with fucking 85 boxes of paper on my doorstep one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, holy shit.
Or you'll end up suicided.
Well, I'm...
For looking into it.
I guess. I'm a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Other people have asked for things that... are way worse.
Oh, I know.
You know, I don't think... Not like I'm going to fucking overturn the secrets of the Finders. I mean, this shit exists out there.
No, I know.
I'm sure they can get me on worse things I've said and covered on this show. But it's interesting that this existed. And even back in the fucking 80s and 90s, they were doing news articles, yet I had never heard of any of this until I just came across his video one day. So, I don't know. And I've been... hanging out of this since summer, this topic.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's when I first heard it. I specifically remember doing shit in my garden and my shed while listening to the Finders, this video.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, like it was like fall at some point, I re-listened to it. So I've been hanging on to this as a topic I wanted to do at some point. But so much other shit's happened politically that we just never did. So now we're doing it. And I've got more things... Not like the Finders, but more things that I've chambered, and we'll start getting into those, you know.
As we go.
Yeah. So, that's the way of the think tank.
For now.
Luckily.
Hit or miss every day when we come in, what we're
talking
about.
Well, yeah, I mean, if stuff happens, currently we'll cover it. If it doesn't, we're going to be hitting other weird things. I do want to look more into the Finders, though. So, I feel like we just scratched the surface.
Yeah, it's a good opener.
Yeah. So... that'll do it for this one, huh? Hi, buddy.
Thank you.
our podcast network on iTunes, and don't forget to rate and review while you're there. You can also download the Stitcher and Podbean app to your device for free and search D2R Podcast Network and subscribe. If you enjoy listening to the shows on the D2R Podcast Network, then spread the word to everyone you know. Your word of mouth is our best advertising method, and we appreciate your support. Thanks for listening.
Where can you find everything you want to buy?
Amazon.
What about two-day shipping no matter where I live?
Amazon.
What about groceries?
Yes, Amazon has it. Go to d2rpn.com and click the Amazon banner.
Fucking love it.
Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
872-242-8311.
Or maybe you'd just like to hear your voice instead of ours.
872-242-8311.
Then call the D2R Podcast Network hotline at USA Chat 311. That's 872-242-8311.
872-242-8311.
No matter the time or day, you can call 24-7 and operators will be standing by.
872-242-8311.
Your call is important to us.
872-242-8311.
So once again, USA Chat 311.
872-242-8311.
872-242-8311.
872-242-8311.
Hey, it's Ryan.
And it's Dave. If you guys like the skits on the Rock Vegas podcast, check out the Rock Vegas Puppet Show on YouTube.
And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Rock Vegas Puppet Show, and also on Twitter at Rock Vegas Puppet.
Yeah, new episodes come every Sunday. Make sure you subscribe.
So there I am in my car, listening to shitty music. And I ask myself the tough questions. Why am I listening to the same song over and over again when I could be listening to the D2R Podcast Network? And is it true that he who smelt it dealt? And why the fuck did the chicken cross the road? And what the hell is on Joey's head? Hey, I wonder if Yoko Ono saw yesterday, today. I wonder if tomorrow was yesterday. Rockford reference. The D2R Podcast Network. Live for today or yesterday.